Why am I pointing this out? Well, 12 million is a big number, but it's not as big as the number of people that have coronary artery disease or vascular disease. Vascular disease, CVD, coronary or cardiovascular disease, is the leading cause of death in America. 60 million people, in other words, five times as many as dope smoke, there are people smoking dope, have one form or another of cardiovascular disease. They've either had a heart attack, they've had a stroke, or they are living with the sequela of a heart attack or a stroke. What does this mean? Well, what it means is there's a huge overlap. Just by chance alone, it's highly probable somebody who has a heart attack will have smoked marijuana at some point or other, or maybe even when they've had the heart attack. What kind of evidence do we have that marijuana could cause heart attacks? Well, what we have are case reports, and these have been appearing kind of regularly since the early 1970s. And I'm really sad John Morgan isn't here today because he goes off on a pretty good tirade about this sort of thing. But the reports do appear, and they appear in respectable journals. But really what they are describing is, in fact, the coincidence of somebody having a heart attack and somebody smoking dope. Now, maybe the marijuana is responsible for the heart attack. Maybe it's not. The only way to tell is to do a clinical trial, or, barring clinical trials, because you'd have to involve a lot of people, an epidemiologic study. So a case report, which can be really legitimate. There was a very impressive one in the American Journal of Forensic Science, or the International Journal of Forensic Science last year, described four people who keeled over and died while taking a toke. And I think it was pretty impressive. And I think it was responsible for their deaths. But we'll explain why I think that in a minute. Barring the clinical trials, all you can do is an epidemiologic study. And those have been done. We know that in controlled settings, people that haven't smoked marijuana before develop tachycardia, high rapid heart rate, and develop increased systolic. That's the first number in your blood pressure, but not diastolic pressure. But we also know that as they smoke marijuana regularly, this goes away. Both the change in the blood pressure and the change in the pulse rate are not significant in regular marijuana smokers. That's not the problem. The problem is your heart is connected to your brain. And maybe an indirect connection, but believe me, all the nerves that control how the heart, blood vessels, and muscle behave come from the brain. Marijuana affects the brain. And now we also know that there are marijuana receptors in the heart, both type CB1 and CB2. It's virtually impossible in a human study to separate out the two components, whether we're talking about the heart or the brain telling the heart what to do. So in the good news category, we have reports in the experimental literature in the last year that in spontaneously hypertensive rats, in other words, rats that develop high blood pressure automatically, if you block the breakdown of anandamide, which is the classic marijuana receptor binding chemical, then you know what happens? The blood vessels dilate. That means that there's more anandamide present. It causes blood vessels to dilate. That's a good thing, probably, except in some certain athletic situations. But what's the bad news that goes with it? Because there always is. Another study just published showed that THC decreases the ability of the heart to contract, and it decreased coronary blood flow. Those are very bad things. In humans, one large epidemiologic study found that there was no association between marijuana smoking and cardiovascular disease or early death from any cause. But the bad news is that in another large study, people who already had coronary artery disease developed angina quicker and symptoms quicker if they smoked marijuana. And there have been several studies repeating the findings of both the good study and the bad study. So which one do you want to pick? Even though it appears that the stimulation of the cannabinoid receptors in the heart can cause increased flow, we don't really know, because all these experiments are done in isolated hearts, we don't really know whether that's what happens in people. Now, just within the last 18 months, both of the cannabinoid receptors have been discovered within the human heart and on coronary arteries. That has pretty big implications. In some situations, that was an interesting noise. All the shows last night, you know, were the anniversary of earthquake, and I'm kind of hyper. I want to go home. Sometimes you get contraction of the blood vessels in experimental animals, and sometimes you get dilation. The problem is rats ain't people most of the time. And it's really hard to say whether the receptors are in the same place. Think about this, though. If this stuff is really, really dangerous, how is it that no case of myocardial infarction has ever been reported in somebody taking Marinol, which is synthetic THC? Never been one. So that sort of suggests that there's nothing inherently cardiotoxic about the compound, but that superimposed on a pre-existing disease, you may be running into a problem. This is a coronary artery. I actually cheated. This is from a cocaine user. I couldn't find a marijuana user. But that's what a blocked artery looks like. And here's the problem. Here's how it works. Even eyeballing it, not being cardiac pathologist, you can look at that and say, well, it's about 25% blocked, right? Everybody agree that that little white spot, which is the open part of the artery, takes up about a quarter of the whole artery's inner circumference? Is that apparent to everybody? Okay. You don't get angina until you block half the artery. All right? You don't get symptoms until you block half the artery. You can run a marathon with a half-blocked artery. Reason why is the heart has a lot of backup reserve. And even with a half-blocked artery, you get enough blood through so that the backup systems work, no trouble. Over 50%, you start to get symptoms on hard exertion. At 75%, you reach a critical mass. This would be a surgical lesion if anybody knew that it had existed before the man died suddenly. All right? Well, if you make your heart go faster, that makes your heart work harder. Why? Because the way we calculate the way the heart works is the blood pressure times the heart rate. So that increases the amount of oxygen needed by the heart to stay alive. What happens in the marijuana users who die while smoking, every single one that's been reported so far, is that they all have a lesion like this. They all have a critical lesion, and this marijuana smoking does put enough strain on their heart to cause an infarct. Well, you will say, that's a pretty stupid thing to do if you've got a lesion like that. The problem is most people don't know that these lesions can progress very quickly. Every single case that's been reported of a marijuana-related smoking death has been one of these. Now, one last thing. I want to tell you about a paper that's 3 days old. It just came from Paris. And it's on how cannabinoids protect from myocardial ischemia. One of the puzzles that I've always had, you know, this town has a history of meth, and I was glad to see the tradition was upheld when they busted some more Hells Angels last night. But if you study any large group of meth-related deaths, what you see is very fascinating. They all have kind of a lot of coronary artery disease, like was up on the screen, but they almost never have heart attacks. In fact, there's a medical student sitting over there. And if you want to get a paper published, just write a paper about a methamphetamine-related heart attack. They're rare. It's just been discovered within the last few years that methamphetamine turns on something called heat shock protein. And heat shock protein made in the brain protects the heart from ischemia. So that explains why for all these years I've seen these people with rotten-looking coronaries who don't have heart attacks. They die because they get shot or run over by a truck or whatever. But they don't die from heart attacks, and heart attacks from meth are rare. It's starting to look like we have the same situation with marijuana, that in fact it is exerting protective effects against ischemia, will prevent from heart attacks. So maybe it's a built-in system. I would not tell anybody out there with heart disease to go smoke dope. On the other hand, one reason maybe the heart attacks are so rare is that it is activating some protective systems. That's all I needed to tell you about today on the subject, and I'll be glad to answer any questions. I've got a 4 o'clock appointment, so I've got to leave early, but please. Yes.
Yeah, the Mecholam, in his book, he has some component of cannabis increases cardiac output. So is there any chance that we can maybe use it to treat congestive heart failure exacerbation in order to unload the heart a little bit?
I kind of doubt it because the main thing that trips people over the line in congestive failure is increased output of angiotensin. And so far as I know, and you have other speakers here that are cannabinoid experts, and I'm a stimulant expert, I've never done much research on this. I don't think it plays into the main mechanisms that cause myocardial remodeling. I do think the protective effect is real, but and I showed you earlier a study showing that maybe it depresses output. So we don't really know. I mean, nobody has taken a group of dopers and done non-invasive monitoring a cardiac output. I think that would be another interesting study for our medical student. Yes. The question is about dialysis patients. So far as I know, there are absolutely no real studies. Stuff may have been written, but there's no controlled scientific studies to make an intelligent decision. Actually, I've never heard anybody mention it. Yes.
Hi. I was just curious if there's any data on the number of people out there who may have these lesions and if there's any method of detection.
There's lots of methods of detection. There's lots of people out there with those lesions. Now,
any data on percentages?
Well, we know 60 million people have the disease. They may not all have disease that looks like that. That's surgical emergency disease. How fast you go from just moderate disease to surgical emergency, I don't really know, but I certainly would guarantee you there are millions of people at the 50% mark right now, and they could be easily detected by a stress echocardiogram. Anybody else? Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Stephen. We really appreciate you taking the time.